Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John, 21st chapter and verses 15 through 25. This tells of the resurrected Jesus coming to the disciple Peter to assure him of his love for him and to call him again to the work of serving God's people. Jesus also gives a hint about Peter's eventual death as one of the first Christian martyrs. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The Word of God. Thanks be to God.
And thanks be to you guys. I know you're from all over the place, which is a cool thing. We got Baltimore, New York, Chicago, I heard, Connecticut. Yeah, very cool. Thank you. Thank you for being here. See if you can stay awake for another half hour, okay? Well, you're up front. It makes it hard, doesn't it? Yeah. So, friends, this morning we... Pastor Chris is leading a kayak camp this morning, so that's why he's not here with us. He'll be back next Sunday. But this morning, you know, we wrap up our first summer sermon series, just five words, keys to a great spiritual life. And next Sunday, we kick off another sermon series entitled Unafraid, Living with Courage and Hope and Love in the World. And I think you'll find that a helpful and timely series, and we'll be a part of that. But wrapping up the five words series, we've looked at some very important words here, and certainly there could be many more, but we look at words like awareness and the importance of practicing the awareness and presence of God in daily life. We looked at joy, didn't we, that word joy, and how we can live with joy because we are children of God and we're loved so dearly by God. We looked at that word help, making our way through difficult times and trials. Last week, Pastor Chris got you thinking about no, that word no, and what we say no to as Christ followers. Today we're going to look at the word yes and what it means to say yes and what we say yes to as those who follow Christ. Now, I'm sure we all have a number of things we like to say yes to. The kids up front here this morning got us thinking about that, right? But there's probably some, you know, just real pertinent summer yeses. Yeah, I was thinking about some of those, like, yes, I'll have my large scoop of ice cream and a waffle cone. Yeah, and that's always a dilemma. Cake cone, waffle cone. Go with a waffle cone, right? Yes. It's a good time to swim in the bay. Or yes, you know, to the kids, you can stay up late at night and have a campfire. Catch some lightning bugs. Yes, it's okay to wear shorts to church in the summertime. A lot of summer yeses. I know we also have things we dread saying yes to. I also know that some of us have trouble saying yes too much, right? Any yesaholics here who get themselves into too many things? Yeah, the hands are going up. I see them. Okay. You're not God. You don't have to be either. But all to say, the practice of saying yes and no well is important. It's important. It speaks of who we are, what's important to us. To say no to one thing is to open up a door for a big yes, isn't it? And to say yes is to close a door. Or to say no is to close a door as well. So, and sometimes that's easy, and sometimes that's more difficult. And I think, friends, that's why we have a whole class of words that are devoted to express our hesitation, like maybe, perhaps, probably, possibly, or let's see. Don't you like it when people say, well, we'll see. You know what that means, right? But we do that because sometimes yeses and nos take some discernment. Sometimes yeses are big decisions, like, should I marry that person? Should I quit that job and take that new position, right? Should I stand up to that evil I'm seeing going on? Should I stand up against that oppression? Should I care for that person who would be so easy to ignore? Should I take this extra money that I have and spend it on myself or put it to work in another way? Yes or no? You can see how a couple of the shortest, simplest words in the English language have a lot of gravitas. You know, they're important because they speak of values and beliefs and commitments and allegiances. They speak of how we use our freedom to choose, right? That's what makes them spiritual words. Well, today I want us to think about yes as a spiritual word. And I want to say to you that a great big yes lies at the very center of our faith. And that yes is what we hear in the gospel, the good news message that our faith proclaims, that God, the creator and sustainer of life, has said a great big yes to all creation. You've heard the derogatory phrase, yes man, you know, that person who kind of kowtows and kisses up to another, right? Well, God is a yes God, but not because God kowtows to anyone. God is a yes God because God has spoken an emphatic yes to life, to creation, to humanity, mercy, peace, and justice, to love, and making things new through love. And God invites us to say yes in response. Yes to a relationship where that can grow. Yes to that life by God's design. Yes to loving as God loves and those whom God loves. And Jesus, you know, that yes has never been spoken more emphatically and lovingly in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. This one we call Lord and Savior because he showed us the fullness of God's yes. So Christians are yes people. Yes? Yes. Christians are yes people. We've said we're going to follow the way, truth, and life of God in Christ. So what does that look like to live out that yes, Jesus style? Well, I think the gospel story this morning offers a good glimpse of this, a picture of one who was among the very first to say yes to Jesus, Peter, the disciple who became the apostle. And that yes came early on in the gospel story. You may remember that time that Jesus encountered the disciples along the Sea of Galilee. And they're out fishing, casting their nets, and he calls out to them. And he says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. And we're told that Peter and the other disciples dropped what they were doing, and they went off to follow Jesus. They became the first disciples, the learn-as-you-go followers of Jesus. And, of course, during those 3 years they were with him, they said yes and they said no a number of times. I think of the time that Peter said no to Jesus. And you probably remember this story, too, if you've been around for a while. That time he sat in fear off in the distance by a campfire warming himself while Jesus was being interrogated and beaten in the hours before his crucifixion. And an accuser came up to him and said, you're one of his. He said, no, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Sometimes fear can drive that yes right out of us, right? Well, today's reading picks up this connection between Jesus and Peter again. In the days after Jesus' death and resurrection. This is one of a number of resurrection stories that we hear at the end of the Gospels. And in the verses just before the words that John read, we see that the disciples are together, kind of waiting for what's supposed to happen next. And Peter, he's always kind of the impetuous one, the decision-making one. He says, you know, I'm going fishing, guys. I'm enough of this waiting around. I'm going fishing. And they join him, and they step back into that familiar rhythm of casting out nets and bringing in fish. And then at dawn, they hear this strangely familiar voice telling them to cast out again. They do, and they bring in this haul of fish. And John, who you heard in the gospel, is known as the one whom Jesus loved, recognizes Jesus. And he tells Peter, and Peter jumps in the water and takes off to go see for himself. And there he discovers Jesus sitting by a charcoal fire, not unlike the one that he sat by that night where he warmed himself and he denied the Lord. And Jesus cooks fish for them, and he offers bread to them, and they eat. And after the meal, he invites Peter to go take a walk, and he asks him a few questions. Three times he inquires of Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. Now he's a counter to those denials around that campfire a few days ago. And then Jesus says, well, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, tend my flock. Now I don't claim to understand the resurrection any better than you do, but I do know what it means. I know what it means for my faith, and I know what it means for our faith, why it's important to our walk with Jesus. You see, the resurrection is God's yes to our no, God's yes to the world's no. It's God's message that there's nothing in life or death, nothing that can ever change God's yes toward us. And because of that, love wins, life wins. Jesus lives. His message lives. And this is why I think he goes to the disciples to assure them of this. Why he goes to Peter to say, Peter, nothing's changed between us. You're loved. You're forgiven. I'm still calling you to fish for people. Love and care as I do. Love them as I do. This is your mission now, Peter. Be a leader. Lead my sheep. Now, we also heard this morning that Jesus doesn't whitewash this conversation, this calling for Peter. And in so many words, he tells him that he's going to die for it. And while we're not certain how the Apostle Peter died, what tradition says is that he was crucified. And at his crucifixion, asked to be hung upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be hung in the way that Jesus was, having denied him. Well, Peter responds to all this talk, you heard it, by saying, well, what about John? In other words, why me and not him, you know? But Jesus, in those final words to Peter, again comes back with it. Peter, just follow me. Follow me. All is going to be well. Don't worry. Just say yes, that you love me, that you trust me, that you'll risk joining me in this work that we've got to do for God. And to the best of his ability, Peter does that, doesn't he? We hear about it in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter and Paul and the others, they're out teaching and living the way of Jesus the Messiah. And you and I, we're here today because of that. Peter's story is our story. We are also those who have said in some way yes and no to Jesus. Like him, sometimes we jump at the opportunity. Like him, sometimes we follow at a distance, cautious. Sometimes we deny knowing him when the heat is on. Sometimes we lose interest and we just go fishing. But God is faithful. And God is always inviting and always calling back. Follow me, follow me. Friends, I want to be very clear about what it means to say yes, yes to God in Christ. Because I think the temptation of the church, and the church has done this far too often, is to pile on a bunch of laws and rules and prescriptions of what you got to do or what you may not do, the do's and don'ts, you know? Well, that's not what God came to say in Jesus. In him, God was clear that one thing matters and one thing's non-negotiable. You shall love the Lord your God. Say it with me, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what saying yes to Jesus really means. Now, of course, there are practices that get us in the right space, in the right place to be able to do that. Like saying yes to relationships and community, because that's where love gets lived out, right? Especially in its most challenging forms. Like saying yes to a friendship with Jesus that is growing through prayer and worship and meditating on his teachings together and alone. Yes to being a lifelong learner, a learner on the way, right? To say yes to Jesus is also to say yes to bearing good fruit. Jesus said, when you're connected to me, you're going to bear good fruit, fruit that lasts. And be able to make my love real in the world. But saying just yes to Jesus also means this, that we say yes to grace. This is so important. That even our yes, and certainly our good works, are enabled by the grace of God that is constantly being poured out upon us and upon this world. To say yes to grace is to say this. Yes, I know I'm going to fail sometimes. I am going to fall short. I am going to miss the mark, Lord. But that's okay, because there is this steady flow of love and forgiveness and strength that saves us from ourselves and washes us and fills us and makes us whole again where we need it the most. To say yes to Jesus is to say yes to an incredible, life-giving, sustaining grace. It's hard, though. We like to do it ourselves. I see you smiling. St. Augustine said, God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full to receive it, to receive them. Sometimes our hands and hearts, our very lives can be so crowded with well-worn paths and habits, the addictions that hold us, things we can't seem to say no to, you know. Can we open a space? Can we open a space for grace to come in? Saying yes to Jesus means just doing that, the space he needs, and trusting, my friends, that grace will more than compensate for what we give up to let him in. Where do you need the grace of God to flow into your life? This weekend, my wife Debbie is in Holland, Michigan, with our middle daughter, our oldest daughter, sorry, our oldest daughter, middle daughter too, and helping them with a yard sale. They're moving out to Salt Lake City. Allison has a new job, and they're selling everything so they can travel light out to Salt Lake City. So that's where she is. She's having a rummage sale, and they're selling everything, the bed, the couch, you name it, kitchen, table. I think about that and I think, you know, sometimes we need to let the Spirit help us with a yard sale here. Get rid of some of the stuff that's so clogging up the house. So that we're holding on to so tightly. God will. That's the language of Jesus as Savior. One more thing, though, that saying yes to him means, we say yes to him as Lord also. And that's where we really need to trust his grace. Because he's calling on us to do things and say things that we're not always going to feel comfortable doing. Things that are going to make us want to go warm ourselves at a distance by a fire. Maybe even deny we know him as Peter did. Can you think of a time when saying yes to Jesus got you in over your head? Maybe in a relationship, challenged you to accept somebody, love somebody that you weren't sure about, or forgive someone you didn't think worthy of your forgiveness, really struggled with it. What about your life as a citizen of this beautiful city, this country? You know, last week, Pastor Chris reminded you of the no's that we need to say to follow Christ, and the no's that are part of our baptism vows. How we, as the language says, renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject evil powers of the world, even repent of our own sin, right? But if you read the rest of those vows, you hear a lot of yeses too. Yes to the freedom and power God gives us to do that, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. Yes to Jesus as Savior, to his grace. Yes to him as Lord, serving him with the church together. When I was out in New Hampshire the past couple weeks, I noticed a story in one of the little newspapers, local newspaper there, of a church just up the road that had its building vandalized with hateful language all over the front of the church, anti-Semitic, racist, homophobic, just all kinds of nasty stuff on the front of this church. And the story told of how that sexton or that trustee of the church got up early that morning and discovered and tried to clean it all off because he didn't want his brothers and sisters there to have to see that horrible stuff. But the story went on to say as well that a little later in the week, these are little burgs, these are little communities, over 100 people gathered in the commons area in this little New England town to stand up and say no to this evil, to say no to this sentiment, and to proclaim that Christ is Lord and his love and light is our way. There's plenty of evil, injustice, and oppression to say no to today. Yeah, but we say no so the healing work can begin. Will you use your baptism vows? Will you recall your baptism vows to use the freedom and power God gives you to stand up and say yes to Jesus? That's why Peter was killed, right? Peter said, Caesar's not Lord. Christ is Lord. Who do we need to stay up? When we stand up, some say we have to say, Christ is Lord. So here's your takeaway for today. What small steps can you take this week to make more room for friendship with Jesus? To do the just and compassionate thing for him as your Lord? What will you let go of? Have a yard sale for. So a little more grace, a little more trust can make its way into your life. In what small way, yet powerful way, will you say yes? Amen.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we'll need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet. To grow. There are Sundays.